on the ice as part of the Alzheimer's Pro-Am Scotiabank down at Brossard Cat Glass. Earlier today, as part of a conference call aired live right here on TSN 690.
Called Doug Armstrong to give the permission to talk to Kurt, and I talked to Kurt yesterday morning. And I called Verge right after, and I said, make sure you close the deal because this is exactly what we need.
I think, you know, every time, and there's no disrespect to Michel. Like, you know, I think he was a hockey player before, but never had the chance to play in the NHL. And the way, you know, the new generation of players are, like, they want to know everything. Whatever they miss a shift in one period, or they're not on the power play one game, they want to know why. And I think when you have a guy like Kirky that has that experience that was there at one point, I think the message will definitely be a little easier to go by. So I think it's just everything is positive by having Kirky here.
Man who first hired Kirk Muller as a coach at the National Hockey League level, Guy Carboneau from Cat Glass in Brossard about 90 minutes ago and about an hour ago from St. Louis.
Guys that I can tell right away they have real passion for the team. And Mark certainly was not a guy, I could tell right away, that, you know, kind of stumbled along. He's like, hey, this is what we need. You're available. We want you. You want to come on board. This is what we do. We had a long, good chat, you know, there for the day and everything. And, boy, it happened quick.
Welcome back, Kirk Muller. After his discussions with both Michel Therrien and Marc Bergevin, associate coach of the Habs, let's go to San Jose, California.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chattahoochee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Excellent, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. So I said to Kirk Muller about an hour ago, the fan base seems certainly energized by this move today. Extremely popular decision.
Easy now. He's an associate coach. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the guy, but let's just call it what it is. It's an associate coach coming over to help his old team where he had some success. And I'm really excited about him, but I'm going to manage the expectation for him.
Nobody's giving the Canadiens the Stanley Cup here.
Okay, well, that's as long as the good. As long as we're clear on that, that's one thing.
Considering what happened to this team last year, to begin an off season, to have this kind of guy come back to the fold, I don't see. You want to put a negative spin on it?
No, I'm trying to protect him. I'm not trying to put a negative spin at all. I understand how the fan base would be excited, but I also know how things work in the league. I'm a realist. The team is not good enough to compete for the Stanley Cup right now. And that, no, regardless as to who the head coach, the associate coaches, the assistant coaches, so they need to do more of their heavy lifting in terms of player procurement, not hiring coaches. But I think this is a very good hire for their team, and it should be part of helping to fix the team going forward. But he's not going to be the guy that's going to make the ultimate difference. Because, again, he can only do what he can do with the players that he has to work with. I'm just telling you the way it is.
I got you, but I'm going to take a wild guess and suggest and project that he'll do a better job on the power play this coming season than any previous coach they've had since Kirk Muller.
I sure hope so. That's what I'm counting on, too. I mean, I'm a big fan. Again, you can ask him. There were times when he was looking for jobs, and I stepped up to try to help him. So I'm a big fan. I like him very much. And I think he will do a good job. And I can tell you one thing, he really helped Ken Hitchcock a lot in St. Louis. He did a very, very good job with Ken Hitchcock in St. Louis. But I also like bringing guys back that understand the legacy of the team. And he's been part of that legacy, as Guy Carboneau was telling somebody from Cat Glass. I apologize, I don't know who Guy was talking with.
He was talking with us.
Okay, so that was a very good soundbite, and I love what Guy was saying about Kirk coming back because he does understand what it means to be a Montreal Canadian, and he can help educate some of the young ones, which, Mitch, for how long have I been telling you, the Canadians are not educating their young players in terms of what it means to be a Montreal Canadian. I've been telling you that for a long time.
Pierre, I asked Kirk about communication as a coaching staff and the importance of, yes, developing consensus, but ultimately making the right decision.
You know
want yes people around you. You know, I mean, you want people that are going to challenge you and talk, you know, as far as each other and as a group.
So what's the key point towards...
And he specifically used the phrase yes man. You don't want a yes man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't want a sycophant working for you who's just going to nod his head, yes sir, you're right, that's the best idea ever. So what's the critical point here when you get into these discussions? You want to get your message across, but I guess you can't be worrying about offending anyone's sensibilities at the same time.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're worried about that, then you've got a bad mix on your staff and you can have a problem long term. One of the things that I'm so proud of over the course of my career was when Scotty Bowman hired me as a young coach. He says, you never tell me what I want to hear. You tell me what you think. And he told me that right from the start. So I was never editorialized by Scotty, and I was never manhandled by Bob Johnson. And I was able to formulate some very strong opinions early in my career to try to help our team win. And those guys were amazing role models in terms of that. And so that's one of the reasons why it worked so well in Pittsburgh. Everybody was really receptive to creative ideology. And I think if you have that, and Kirk is very, very strong with his opinions, I think that can help a lot as long as people don't take it the wrong way.
All right, now how about the next level, which you refer to as, you know, I think everybody recognizes and acknowledges, and I hope they would too in a private moment, they are two quality forwards away from seriously competing. Do you think having a guy like Muller would help them in you know, when it comes to free agent, possible, you know, the free agency situation?
It may, but I don't know how much they're going to allow him to be involved in that. You would know better than I. you know, the one thing that I'm a big fan of when you approach free agents is the whole recruitment process, and it doesn't start the day of free agency. It starts way before that. You have to have a plan. You have to have a vision for what the player can do for your team. You have to prepare that vision and illustrate it to the player and his representatives as quickly as possible. I don't know how much they're going to allow their coaching staff to do that in Montreal. I just don't. Nobody's told me. So, again, that comes down to an upper management decision, how much they're going to allow them to be involved.
But if you're a player, a veteran player who's played out his option, you're an unrestricted free agent, you look at the Montreal Canadiens, you go, I know that market when it wins. I also have heard some grumblings this year. I don't know. You're talking to your agent. The Canadiens are interested. They just added Kirk Muller to the staff. Do you think that would sway somebody one way or the other?
Probably not. Realistically, probably not. I would hope it would, but I don't know that for sure. It depends on the player, obviously. And if he had, okay, let's get real. David Backes,
Troy Brouwer.
Pardon me?
David Backes, Troy Brouwer.
Yeah,
right.
Those are two guys that played in St. Louis with Kirk Muller there. I don't think that would be the difference in either one of those guys going to Montreal.
You got pretty upset, Pierre, when we mentioned that Marc Bergevin told us that there was no booklet that explained to Max Pacioretty in this situation how to be a captain for the Montreal Canadiens. Do you think,
correct,
with Kirk Muller's experience, I mean, no one's going to ask him to put together a package of DVDs like you suggested, but do you think Kirk can at least be helpful in that regard?
Absolutely. That's one of the big things he's going to bring. Absolutely. Totally agree. Understanding the legacy of being there, being around an amazingly successful team when he was there, knowing the politics of the situation there. No, I totally think that's where it's really important. He can make a gigantic difference for that team, and I think he'll be a huge asset for Max Pacioretty. I think if P.K. Subban is still there, he'll be a gigantic difference for P.K. Subban. That's where he's going to make a difference. For guys understanding what goes on, part of the process of being part of that team. And I don't say this with any disrespect to J.J. Daigneault or to Danny Lacroix, who are very good men and work there, and for Michel Therrien, who's, I think, done a real good job more times than not as a coach in this league. But Kirk actually gets that whole process there. He really does.
You know, he's already called me to say hi and welcome back. And I think I really look forward to working with him again. I enjoy his enthusiasm. I think he's going to be obviously a big key to that power play, and he has all the qualities to be a great quarterback there and be a great two-way defenseman.
Kirk Muller on P.K. Subban. One of the first calls he got was from P.K. Subban, who I imagine is, if he's not doing cartwheels, he's got a big smile on his face, even bigger than normal.
Yeah, again, you would know more than I do in turn. I'm in the Stanley Cup final here right now. I don't know how they're going to delegate authority there. I mean, is Kirk Muller changing the defense? Is he going to be in total charge of the power play? I mean, what
yes, he is in total. He is in total charge of the power play and working with the forwards.
So then he's not changing the defense, but he's going to run the power play. So that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Again, this is part of what I tried to caution you on at the beginning in terms of managing expectation. You've got a coach that will be in charge of the power play, but he won't be running the bench. And that's a big part of coaching in the game. So we're all clear on this. I'm a huge fan of the guy. I think it's a great hire, but I also want to manage the expectation, because if it doesn't work, people are going to say, well, Muller was overrated. And that's a bunch of hogwash. It's not. It's just that he doesn't have all the different powers that you need to make a gigantic difference. That's all I'm telling you.
Well, if it doesn't work, he may end up being the next coach.
Well, that's different. That's different. That's all I'm saying. So let's see how it all plays out. But the number one thing, again, I'll stress this for the Canadians, and they know it. These guys know it. Their team is not good enough the way it's built right now, especially down the middle. They've got to make their team better.
It's
going to be interesting to watch.
You've talked a lot on this show over the last 5 years at least, or maybe longer, about the need of a team that has trouble generating offense to be among the top five in power play. In four of the 5 years that he was here working with the power play, they were number one or two.
Correct. And that's why I think can make a difference there. Definitely agree with that. And that's, again, I'm managing the expectation for him. Because I know that people are searching and scratching and clawing to try to make it better. But you also have to understand he's limited in terms of the kind of impact he can have on the team. But he can impact the power play, no question about it.
Yeah, you know what? I am such a better coach right now than when I left Montreal. I just coached under one of the top coaches in the history of the NHL. And
so there he is on Ken Hitchcock. It's kind of interesting how this played out, Pierre. And I'm curious how you feel. You know, when Hitchcock, they decided, okay, one more year, and that would have, I guess, included offers to the assistants, although I don't know that for a fact, but it was quite clear to read between the lines listening to the conference call. You're kind of in limbo. A lot of us thought that maybe Kirk Muller would be the next coach of St. Louis to follow Ken Hitchcock, but there's no guarantee, of course, of that. So I'm curious, again, how you feel how this has played out with this kind of domino effect.
I had a real good feeling that probably halfway through the year that he was not going to be back in St. Louis. Win, lose, or draw. I just had that feeling. And it had nothing to do with anything that was acrimonious. It was time for him to move on. He was being pigeonholed as an assistant there, and it's time for him to grow his brand. Now he's going to be an associate coach, obviously with the full power play responsibility that you've alluded to. But I had a feeling probably around middle part of January, early February, that he was not going to be back in St. Louis, one way or the other.
And during the conference call, he did mention, he was asked about being a head coach again. He said he's really happy doing this. He's thrilled to be back in Montreal. It sounded genuine. He sounded very, very happy. But I did ask when we had a chance to talk to him about an hour ago that he's still got the goal of being an NHL head coach in him.
I'd be lying to say that that's not something I would take. But as of right now, I can honestly say that this situation excited me more than let's say going after a couple opportunities that are out there for head coaching, opportunities. I'm not saying they were offered to me, but I was like, I don't need to pursue it. This situation excites me, for where I am right now. So, this is the number one spot that I wanted to go.
Do you get that?
Oh, this is the number one place for him. I can tell you, I don't believe he was in the hunt in Anaheim, and I don't believe he was in the hunt in Calgary, and those are the two spots that have openings, and they're getting closer and closer to finishing their searches in both places. So I think he's being realistic, but I also know he's a huge pride of being part of the Montreal Canadiens family. I can tell you that. He's told me that many times, so I totally understand that, and I totally respect that of him. I mean, it's like I've told you a million times, you know, I never pursued the job in Pittsburgh because of what they did with my friend, firing him. I never pursued it once. They pursued me. There's a difference. And I called my friend as soon as the pursuit started, and I wanted to make sure that he was okay with it. and he was okay with it. If he had told me, no, you don't have my blessing, then I wouldn't have pursued it once they started pursuing me. And that's how most of these jobs work. Just so everybody understands, and this is a good example, very seldom when you apply for a job in the NHL do you get it. They pursue you. That's usually how it works. They usually have a refined list of maybe 10 to 15 people. They whittle that list down after they have phone conversations, initial conversations, to maybe five or six. And maybe they do some face-to-faces, or maybe they just say, you know what, this is our guy, and let's go get him. And that's what they do. But you very seldom do you apply for these kinds of jobs and get them. They pursue you. That's just how it works.
Same thing in the radio business. It is the same thing. And I could vouch for twice I was standing right next to Pierre McGuire when he got a couple of those calls that he was alluding to. He is in San Jose. The extra day off, what kind of effect, if any, does it have on Game 3 tomorrow night?
You know, the big news coming out of today, and I don't know if you gentlemen have talked about it, Mitch, is Tomas Hertl didn't practice. And I was in the truck breaking down tape with our tape operators getting ready for Game 3 outside the arena when that word came down. Now, they're not practicing at the big rink today because Bocelli is here, the singer. So that's taking up the SAP Center tonight. But we went and checked the tape, and there was one big hit that Hertl got in the third period against Pittsburgh from Hornqvist. And we think that that's maybe where he got hurt. But that's the big news coming out of today. In terms of the extra day, I just think the biggest thing for Pittsburgh is to soldier on the way they've been playing. For San Jose, you better get off to a good start and get your fans into it right away. That could be the swing moment for Game 3 anyways. If they get going early and their fans are behind them, I've been in this building so many times, but especially this playoff season, it can be deafening, unbelievably loud.
So Andrea Bocelli after Donald Trump. Right? That's an impressive double play combination. And wow.
Well, let me tell you, last night was scary here. No.
I saw some footage. Goofy. Yeah.
I was having dinner with one of my old players, Jamie Baker, at a place that I go to a lot here called Original Joe's. And it was a block away from where Trump was speaking. And when I left dinner, I am telling you right now, it was mayhem. I walked as quick as I could away from that and right back to the hotel, which was a block and a half away from where all the carnage was. It was really, I mean, I don't know if TV did it justice. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's what they should have had Bocelli singing in the streets to calm everybody down.
You know what else they have going on here? There's some big soccer deal going on here. USA soccer team is here. They're staying in our hotel. So in our hotel, NBC, Pittsburgh Penguins, and USA Soccer.
Ooh, yeah, the Copa America is being hosted in the U.S.
Well, there you go. So that's what they're doing here.
All right, and before we say goodbye to Pierre, looks like, Tuesday or Wednesday expansion? We could have news about that, and it won't be Quebec. It will be Vegas.
Vegas is getting a team. Murray Craven will be a big part of it, a former Flyer and Canuck and Hartford Whaler. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but Vegas is getting a team. I don't know about what's going on with Carolina. There's a lot of rumors out there about Carolina. But I'm heartbroken about, you know, obviously the potential is there for Quebec down the road, but I really would love to see Quebec get a team. Just heartbreak. I'm telling you, Mitch, you know how long I've been telling you that those people deserve a team. They deserve a team in Quebec City.
Have a great weekend, Pierre.
Thank you, sir.
You're on the full network tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, no. Tomorrow night, no. And then the rest of the series, yes.
I'll be listening to Bocelli instead.
Oh, come on. All right. Have a good weekend. Thank you for a great week, Rod. Thanks for a great week, Mitch. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye. That's like that Mexican goal announcer.
You don't want yes people around you. You know, I mean, you want people that are going to challenge you and talk, you know, as far as each other and as a group. The coach and staff that I've seen in the past that are the most successful are the ones that, in behind closed doors, that's where there should be a lot of dialogue, a lot of chat, a lot of communication, a lot of agreements, disagreements, views, opinions, whatever it is. But the number one thing is when you walk out of there, the head coach walks into that room, you support what he says. And so for the players sitting there, you got to give the players the belief that that staff believes in what it's talking about.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Once again,